So, I'm going to start by telling you a story. It's a story about a man called Sherlock Holmes and his friend Dr. Watson. So you probably already know it's not a true story. And the story is that they once went out one sunny afternoon to have a picnic, and they thought they'd have a camping trip because the weather was nice and it was the summer holidays and all that kind of stuff. So they had a nice meal, they had a couple of glasses of wine or something like that, and then they lay down for the night and they fell asleep. Now, a few hours later, Sherlock Holmes nudges Watson and wakes him up. And he says, "Watson," and Dr. Watson says, yes, Holmes." And Watson says, "Look up at the sky. Tell me what you see." So Dr. Watson looks up at the sky and he says, "I see millions and millions of stars." And Holmes says, "So, Watson, what does that tell you?" And Watson said, "Well, it tells me that there are millions and millions of galaxies, possibly billions of planets." "What else?" said Holmes. "It tells me that, looking at where the stars are, it's about 3:15 in the morning." Holmes says, "Anything else?" Watson says, "Yeah, I can tell from the stars, from the moon, that it's probably going to be a very nice day. The weather's going to be very nice tomorrow." Holmes says, "Well, very good. Anything else?" And Watson says, "Well, looking at the stars makes me ponder the big questions of life, theological questions like God is so big and we're so small." And Holmes says, "Oh, very good, very good." And Watson says, "Why, Holmes? Looking up at the stars, what does it tell you?" And Sherlock Holmes says, "It tells me that somebody has stolen our tent." Now, that's a silly story, but I wanted to start with it because it kind of illustrates some of the difficulties we have sometimes when we're thinking about some of the stories Jesus told, the parables that he's told. Sometimes they're a bit like that, especially a parable like the one we're looking at today. It looks difficult, it sounds difficult, and it's quite tricky, and lots of people have got lots of different opinions on what it might mean. And I think sometimes we actually miss the obvious thing, like Watson did. He missed the fact that their tent had been stolen because he was trying to be too clever. And I think sometimes looking at parables, we can miss something quite obvious because we're trying to be too clever. So the story which you've heard is of a man who is not very good at his job. He's lazy. And so he's going to get the sack. His boss is going to fire him. But before he gets fired, he goes to all the people who owe his boss money, and he says, "Why don't you make the amount you owe, make your debt a little bit smaller? Just cut a bit off the top." And you'd expect, he's thinking that, if I do that, then when I get the sack, all these people I've helped, all these people I've saved money, they'll want to be my friend. They might give me another job or something like that. And when the boss hears about this, you would expect the boss to be angry, to be furious. This guy is cheating him. But Jesus tells, no, actually, the boss is quite impressed. He's impressed with the way this guy thinks. He's impressed with this guy who has been clever and sneaky and set himself up to use what he had in order to make friends for himself, in order that when he lost his job, he would still have people who might want to help him or might want to support him. And it's kind of not what we'd expect from the parable. And if you look at books and online and all kinds of things, people get very confused about this parable and sort of try and explain all kinds of things because they're, this parable makes you think, is Jesus saying it's okay to be dishonest? Is Jesus saying it's okay to steal from our boss? Is Jesus saying that it doesn't matter if we're lazy because, we can just cheat people and be sneaky and provide for ourselves that way? But that's not what Jesus means. And in fact, I think Jesus makes it quite clear what he means. He says, really what this parable is about, is he's saying you should be like this man. Not that you're sneaky and you cheat and you steal, but you should be like this man who's thinking about the future. He's thinking, what's going to happen tomorrow? How can I take what I have today and use it so that it helps tomorrow? This man is thinking, I'm going to lose my job. How can I make sure I don't lose, you know, get kicked out on the street and lose everything? I know I'll use what I have, my position here, to make friends for myself. And Jesus is saying, you should think that way. And he's not saying, you know, you should think that way to make friends for yourself. He's saying you should think that way in that you should be thinking about how you can use what God has given you now, what you have today, and use that for the future. And not to make friends for yourself, but to, Jesus says, to build yourself eternal houses, if you like. He's saying to invest what you have now in something that will last for eternity, that will help in the future. The man was thinking about what he was going to do when his job had finished, when he'd lost his job. But Jesus is saying you should be thinking about what's going to happen when your whole life is finished, when everything is finished. Are you going to use what you have now to do things that last forever? In Matthew 6, verse 19, Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." And a few verses later in chapter 6 in Matthew, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters. You will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one, you'll despise the other. You can't serve God and money." That's what Jesus says. And when he tells this parable in Luke, this parable about the steward who spends his boss's money to sort of provide for himself, a few verses later, just after telling his parable, Jesus says the same thing. He says, "No servant can serve two masters. You're going to hate one and love the other. You can't serve both God and money." So this is the point that Jesus is making, is you can't take what you have and serve money. You can't get what you have now and use that just for yourself. You have to serve God with it. You have to think about what God wants. So that's what the parable is trying to say. It's asking us, what are you worried about most? Are you worried about what you have? Are you worried about what your job pays you? Are you worried about whether or not you're going to get the house you really want? What's the most important thing to you? And Jesus is saying, what is the most important thing to you? What are you going to use the things you have for? What are you going to use them for? Are you going to use them to look after yourself, or are you going to use them to build up the things that God thinks are important, the things that will last forever? Are you thinking about tomorrow, God's tomorrow, not just yourself? And you can do this in a lot of ways, really. You could, thinking about the time and the money and all the things you have, it's really just a question of saying, yeah, I'm going to use these things to do what God wants, to serve God. There was a man called John Lang who died in 1978, which is quite a long time ago now, over 40 years. But he started a building firm. It was one of the largest in the country. His firm built the M1 motorway and the Sizewell nuclear power station. But he was a Christian, John Lang was. And when he was in his 20s, he decided that as his income increased, as he got more money from his business, he wasn't going to spend it on bigger houses, better cars. He was actually going to keep living with the same amount of money he had and just give more of it away. He was going to spend more of it on God's work, on the things that were important to God. Like Jesus was saying, he was going to build eternal houses, not just the houses that his building firm built here and now. And he never talked about all the things he did. But after he died in 1978, it came out what he'd been spending his money on, and he'd been giving it to all kinds of charities and churches, and he built houses for church leaders, and he built theological colleges, and he gave a lot of money to an organization called UCCF, which sends workers into universities to talk to people about Jesus and explain the gospel. And so John Lang, when he died, his business that he'd built, his building business, was worth millions and millions of pounds, and it's still around now. But do you know how much money he had in his own account? Do you know how much he had for himself when he died? He had £381. That's all he had left, because he'd spent all of his money, all his own personal money, on giving and building up things that he thought were going to last forever, things that were important to God. So this is what Jesus is asking us to do, and I think this is what Jesus is asking us to do in the story. And sometimes it's difficult when you give money to God's work, or you give your time, because you don't always feel like it's working. Let me show you what I mean. Let's see if you've got this. So I've got a money box here, and you can see it's got a kind of a see-through thing, so you can see into it, and it's empty. There's nothing in it. And sometimes when you give money to God's work, when you put money in invest it in the things that God wants, it's like taking your money. Here's a 5p piece. This is all the church pays me, and I'll put it in my money box and say, I'm giving this to do something for God. And you put it in the money box, and it's gone. It's gone. It's like, I've got another one here. I've got 20p. This saved up 4 years of my salary here for this. Let's put this in. That's gone too. It's not there. I've got another one here. This is all the money that I have in the world here. Let's put this in. It's gone. The money, it's not in there. And that's sometimes how it feels like when we give to the work that God wants us to do, whether we give it to missionaries or to charities or to a church or anything like that. We give it and we think it's gone. There's nothing there. But Jesus is saying, no, it's not. God doesn't forget. It gets stored up, a treasure in heaven. And one day, when the time comes to see what you've done there, that money you've put in there comes out, and it's just multiplied, and it's worth so much more because of what you've done for God, even though it looked like it wasn't going anywhere or it had vanished. So that's the story that Jesus told, and that's just my way of trying to help you understand what Jesus is saying. It's quite straightforward, really. He's just saying, look, the things you've got, whether it's money or the time or whatever it is, you can think about using that for God's work and for building houses and things in the future that will last forever. And don't just think, you know, about what's going on today. Think about how you can use what you've got to help for the future, for eternity.